See, we've had the kingdom come many, many times. We've had moves of the kingdom that have demonstrated the kingdom of heaven, but we haven't had moves of the will of God. See, your kingdom come, your will be done. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord and the government of the fear of the Lord, his job is to tether us, its job is to tether us into the face of the Father. So of the seven spirits of God that rested on Jesus, it says only one of them did he delight in. So it repeats it. It says in Isaiah 11, the seven spirits, you know, the spirit of the sovereign Lord, counsel and might, yada, yada, yada. But it says, but in the spirit of the fear of the Lord is his delight. And the scriptures say that the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And the fear of the Lord is an unusual being because it's God consciousness. See, you can have wisdom and you can know how to build an aqueduct. You can know how to develop a technology or how to manage your children. You can have knowledge and know someone or know something or know how to do something. You can have these things of counsel. You can have power. You can have miracle working power and pull people out of wheelchairs. But the fear of the Lord is the one that tethers us to the will, because you could do all those apart from the will of God. Because it says, you heal the sick, you speak in tongues, you do this, you do that. So when we do these things, they're us doing it, but there's a higher realm of synchronization and union. And if we're to be tomorrow people, if we're to shape and forge the future, we have to be a company of people that abound into the face of the Father. Where I no longer live, that I consider myself as having died. I consider my identity and who I've been as having died on a cross, and now I am something else. I am a new creation. I'm a God-man. John G. Lake used to stand in the mirror and look at himself and say, God lives in the suit. And the lightnings of God would go out of his body. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is a tethering God consciousness. See, if we don't have this God consciousness, we will trade into wrong platforms with our words. We will trade into wrong platforms with our actions. We may be healing, but we won't be doing it how he wanted. We may have power to tear down, but he may be wanting to build up. We may have abilities and enablements, but without love and the constraint to fear, and fear manifests itself through love, is that we will be doing our will, our kingdoms, not his will. We may have power, but what are we going to do with that power? And God is looking to tether a company of people into the fear of God, that they can't be bought. They don't belong to anyone. They belong to him. They can't be bought, that he's the reward. He's their inheritance. He's the only thing that they're actually obsessed with. They're not obsessed with titles or profile or Facebook or earthly realm. They are absorbed into oneness with him, possessed by him. In him they live, in him they move, in him they have his being, that he is the all in all, and every cell, every part of them is echoing with that knowledge, the knowledge of his goodness, the knowledge of his love, union, mystic union. Whoa, where separation is absolutely obliterated, where every definition of separation and delay and every illusion and framework that we have constructed in our mindsets is obliterated by the cross, and we realize that he has swallowed us into him, and we've been swallowed into him, and he's been swallowed into us. And now it's too late. Now we are experiencing the consequences of being permanently united with him. And from that will be expressed a new government, born from the eternal, born from beyond earth, born from beyond human consciousness, a higher consciousness, the mind of Christ. And that mind is tethered in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is his treasure. The spirit of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It is the beginning of wisdom. But it's not just the beginning. Scripture says that the end of wisdom is to fear God. It is actually the conduit and pipeway that the future has been birthed through. It is the birth canal of the future. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, which it wants to come and tether itself around us and superimpose its existence upon us and tether our words and tether our hearts and tether who we are and how we live into mystical communion, mystic union, absorption into him. Or as Jean Goyon said, abandonment. Abandonment to oneness, abandonment to godlikeness. See, Paul said there is a mystic secret or a mysterion called godliness. God-likeness, that you are like God. See, religion is continually trying to make us into what we already are. We were created in his image. We were made in the blueprint and pattern of his thought. His original intention was you. Jesus came to reveal the true you and to deal with your memory, that all the nations would turn and remember that he is God. Not discover, remember. Whee! So I want to just layer some stuff this morning. I pray that it comes in the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is his treasure, which is his delight. It's interesting. It says that Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. He took pleasure in the fear of the Lord. See, it says, knowing the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were all strengthened. There's a realm of the fear of the Lord that he wants us to come into. It's a tangible essence of God-likeness. It's a tangible essence of God consciousness. And Smith Wigglesworth walked in it. And Smith Wigglesworth, you know, there's famous stories about him getting on trains and conviction ripping through the train. There's stories about him praying and people saying, can I come and pray with you? And he'd be like, okay. And he'd let a group of people get in. And as he was going in and in, one by one, they were leaving the room, one by one. And there's a famous story about one woman. She managed to hang in there until it was just too much for her, and then she left the room. That's going to be the new normal. There's a dread God. It says, do you not tremble? Do you not shake at his name? Do you not tremble? It says in scripture, no one dared join them. It's like, don't go in there, dude. Dude, I've been in one of those meetings. Whoa. God wants to tether us into fear, into the mysterion of fear, into God consciousness, God awareness, where we fast our own words, we fast our opinion. My opinion has nothing to add to this. My opinion is irrelevant. I disagree with myself most of the time anyway. I fall out with myself every day. I don't need to fall out with you guys. I'm falling out with me. So God is releasing an awareness, a capacity in us to love like never before. And he wants to us to rediscover that the fear of the Lord is going to teach us that God is good. See, we have diminished the goodness. We have not seen it. We have not seen the gospel. We have not seen the gospel. We have not understood the glad message. We have not understood that we were completely incapable of living the life he wanted us to live, so he did it for us. There is no works allowed. Grace has to be drunk straight, undiluted with human efforts, undiluted with my efforts. My efforts cannot forge this. It is God in me. It's submission to his fear. It's submission to his will. It's partnership. It's co-union, co-revealing. It's the cocoa. It is the cocoa. It is oneness. And he wants to release a government that expresses itself in love. For we will never be made perfect in mystical realities or in the prophetic or in healing. We all know this. But we will be made perfected in love. Love is a force. Love is a power. All you need is love. 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 Love. Love is all you need. And love is coming, and love is going to mentor us and guide us and take us into realms and dimensions that we've never been in before, that we've never seen before. It's going to escort us into the greater works. It's going to escort us because God is not going to allow us to do the greater works until we learn the ways of love. The fear of the Lord stands in the gateways of greater works. And this being stands there saying, all who dare to enter must come through me. The fear of God has to possess you. The fear of God has to clothe you. The fear of God has to overmaster you and leave you no choice. All the bond servants, all the apostles said, I'm a slave. I am ruled by Christ's love. You know, Paul started off by saying, hey, he writes one of his letters and say, I'm an apostle and I am equal to the other 12. He starts off like that. And as it goes on, he goes, I'm the least of the apostles. As it goes on, he says, I'm a sinner. And in his later letters, he says, this is a very good saying. God came to save sinners whom I am the worst. So you saw, as his government increases, so did his humility. Or should I say his humility increased his government? We got to come back to the original gritty scumbag apostle gospel. I love it in the Message translation. It says, like I said last night, we are the potato peelings in the culture's kitchen. Performing in a show where no one wants to buy a ticket. Yeah, they changed Rome and took down an empire. They took down the most powerful empire that existed and devastated paganism, devastated fairy worship in Britain, and overmastered us with love. And they would wild wander these islands, and they would just leave their house not knowing where they were going. Columba would, you know, and Cuthbert would take his disciples and say, "We're going in the forest." Where? "I just follow in the cloud." Walking through dense forest, and then they'd find a little village that had never been reached before. And they would proclaim the glad message of the happy God that delivered them from fairies and tree worship and paganism and established them in the table of kings. They couldn't be bought by politicians. They couldn't be bought by the culture. They couldn't be owned because they were already owned. No stream can own us. None of us can be diminished and reduced to a mystic stream or a prophetic stream. We're beyond streams. It says, out of your belly will come streams of living water, rivers. We're beyond every human definition. Words cannot contain what we are. We need to allow ourselves to be more than we are. We cannot constrain ourselves with these words anymore. We have to release incredible freedom. Incredible freedom, incredible love, incredible empowerment. The heaven is saying, you get to be you. I get to be me. And we're free. We're free. We're free from the tyranny of conformity. We're free from the tyranny of man-pleasing. We're free from the tyranny of approval-seeking behavior, because we're already approved of. We've been bought and possessed by Christ's love, and our story ends well. And we're co-heirs of all things. We are co-heirs of all things. We are going to inherit the cosmos. There is no limit to your spiritual growth. Do you know it says that he will express the unsearchable riches of his grace in the ages to come? Do you know you're going to keep growing from age to age to age to age to age? The riches of God are unsearchable. The Lord spoke to me once and said, the human spirit has a limitless capacity to grow. We have been signed up for the greatest adventure imaginable. No mind can conceive it. No one of us should have any doubt about his heart towards us, about the burning, convicting heart of love, that there is no dark side here. It says this, the gospel, this is a quote from Baxter Kruger. It says, the gospel is the news that there is no dark side of God and that there's no merely generic love of God. It is the news that while we were inescapably plunged into dreadful darkness, the Father, in his all-out commitment to us, sent his Son to oppose and remove the darkness at all costs. In his all-out invasion and offensive strike, Jesus has transformed the whole human situation before God. In him, the real exodus has taken place. In him, we've been delivered and brought to the promised land. You're in the promised land. Jesus is the promised land. Jesus is in you. You're in the promised land. We can't keep having false finish lines. It is finished. He's already come. He's possessed you. He's in you. You are in Eden again. You are back in Eden. Your heart is the location of Eden. Heaven is in you. It's in you. You've been possessed. Yay. In his attack. Oh, I love this. The Son of God acted decisively once and for all to deliver humanity from the shackles of sin, alienation, and brokenness. And in his offensive assault, the Son acted not only to destroy and deliver, but also to establish a whole new order of human existence. We've been established. We've been established in a whole new kainos order of existence. We've been established in a new government. We've been established under the government of the fear of the Lord. We're in the most awesome, excellent, magnificent adventure the world has ever seen. And we cannot allow religion to come in and steal the wonder and steal the joy and steal the grace that the Bible says, as the age progresses, it will be shouts of grace unto you and grace grace unto you. Where sin increased, grace will increase all the more. No self-effort can accomplish what he's going to do. It says that I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We don't even get to build it in this era. Yeah, you get it. This is the freedom of the gospel. This is the glorious message. This is the consequences of what he's accomplished for humanity, swallowing a species into his heart so no more can ever be man isolated from the Trinity, because now there is a man in the Trinity. We must never doubt his utter conviction and desire for us when we see the man of God. There is a man seated at the right hand of the Father. There is a man. Whoa. Whoa. There is a faithful witness, a testifier that stands on our behalf permanently, uniting us to him as a gift for the foolish, as a gift for those who have not, as a gift for the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. The humble, the contrite. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he is releasing a government that's so different to every other government, and yet is the most powerful government that's ever existed. It's the government of love. Consider this. I'm going to read scripture here. Love is large. Love is large. Let's get fat, people. Let's pile on some weight right now. Love is fat. Love is fatty. Fatty bum bum, as they say in my family. If we're having a takeaway, it's a fatty bum bum night. We need to have a few more fatty bum bums in the room. Yay. Love is large and incredibly patient. We've had faith movements. I think it's time for a patience movement. It says through faith and patience, Abraham inherited the promises. Do you know we're trying to grab something that he's giving? Since we're receiving a kingdom. Satan tried to grab it. He said, I will ascend. I will sit. I will go onto the mountain. Love, it refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Yay! I want the churches to prosper. I want all the different streams to do well. If they do better than us, this is the honest truth. I will be cheering because I want heaven on earth, and I don't care who it comes through. I prayed for years for an awakening in Britain for wildfire revival, and I said to the Lord, I don't care who you use. I just want it. See, movements do not exist to increase the amount of people that join them. They exist to change a culture. Let me give you an example. Abortion movements exist to eradicate abortion, not to make themselves the biggest movement. Wow. That we exist for something to happen that is called love. The government of love. The government of peace. The kingdom of heaven. When righteousness, peace, and joy have come. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Rightness. Whoa. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated. You guys okay out there? Woo! Woo, 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 woo. It's not quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. I love that it celebrates honesty. Love is a safe place or shelter. This has got to be, we got to be the safe place for the earth. Do you know we're going to be the city on the hill that cannot be shaken? Do you know, as the turbulence increases, you will not believe the harvest that's coming. And they're not coming to a house that's empty of the Father's heart. They're not coming to a doo-doo factory of works and efforts. They're coming to the house of wine, the house of love, a safe place, a place where they're going to encounter goodness, for goodness is a person. God is good. Love is a safe place, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure or defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Let me tell you, one of the best prayers I've ever had, ever, and I can still remember it today. I've been prayed for many times, but there's one time I can never forget. And it was at an Anglican renewal meeting. And this old couple prayed for me, and I was out, man. I was in just the rest of God, lying on the floor. And I thought they'd gone, and they were praying for other people. So I just stayed there. So I was there for 20 minutes, half an hour. When I opened my eyes, silently, this couple were overshadowing me with love. And that was devastating. That was awesome. Whoa. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial, but when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. You know, it's not knowledge, it's love that's going to change us. Love lifts us up where we belong, where eagles fly. Wow. We can try and ascend, or we can elevate on the winds of grace, on the winds of love. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. For now we say faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything. Wow. Yeah. Yay. Just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Wow. Catherine of Siena, one of my favorite saints, said this: "Oh, priceless love, you showed your inflamed desire when you ran like a blind and drunk man to the disgrace of the cross. The blind man can't see, and neither can the drunk man when he is fat drunk." Fat drunk, that's a new word, fat drunk. There's drunk and there's fat drunk. Jesus was fat drunk. And thus he, Christ, almost like someone dead, blind and drunk, lost himself for our salvation. You set your eye on your creature with whom you fell in love, like one drunk and crazy with love. And this love possessed the apostles. It possessed them. I want to be possessed by it. What's that going to be like? What's it going to be like to go to sleep one night and you wake up possessed? Possessed by love. And there's an electricity and a life and something on you that is just contained, cannot be contained. Love and the joy unspeakable and full of glory, the mystic gospel, the supernatural love cloud, the love canopy, that what Mariah would have carried, where it would take out cities, it would take out hundreds of people, go into trances. Can we be that infectious? Can we carry such a capacity to love, such a capacity to walk in the fear of the Lord? Can it be your delight, like Jesus, who delighted in the fear of the Lord? Yeah, yay, yeah. This is what Paul said. I love it. It's the Kenneth Weiss translation. It says, "For the love which Christ has for me presses on me from all sides, holding me to one end and prohibiting me from considering any other, wrapping itself around me in tenderness, giving me an impelling motive, having brought me to this conclusion." It's brought me to a conclusion, namely that one died on behalf of all, therefore all have died in him. And then he said, "I can no longer see any man after a human way. Henceforward," he said, "we no longer regard anyone in a human fashion." Whew. Whew. Whoa, 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 thank you, Father. Warm, 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 warm. Warm over those Islamic nations, Father. Warm over those Islamic nations, Father. Warm over them. Overshadow those Islamic nations, Father. Overshadow Islam, Father, with your love. Swallow up Islam into a joy tsunami. Swallow up those Islamic people, those people with a martyrdom spirit that are looking for a cause. They're looking for something, Lord. They're so disenfranchised, so broken. Father, so enslaved, Lord. Release your glory. Release your love. A love tsunami, an unstoppable manifestation of your glory. Many sons will come to glory. Many sons will come to glory. Many daughters. Release joy cities. Release places of joy. Joy unspeakable. The restoration. The restoration of all things. Whoa. We have to be immersed in love, free from performance, law, formulas, and methods. How many of you guys know that the more laws you know, the more you realize you can't do it? That's what Paul said, that the law was a tutor to lead us to a person. It was meant to give us a good whipping over and over again. The law had a purpose. It had a purpose to say, "I can't live up to this." And Jesus came along and jacked it up to another level. After they'd heard the law, he said, "Unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees, you're not in." And they're like going, "Oh, no, the Pharisees are doing it all. And we've got to be more righteous than him." Yeah, he said, yeah, if you're struggling, you know, we know, turn the other eye, an eye for eye. How about cut your eye off, cut your hand off? Hate your father and mother. Jesus was cranking up the law. He was doing hyper law. To bring them to a manifestation of hyper grace. Thank you, Father. Whoa. See, we've been in a culture of endless performance and measuring up, but do you know that that kills passion? That's the passion killer. That takes away the government of love, the government. See, the mystic realm should be the most exciting era, and I've come across people that have turned it into the most dry, boring, methodological, manual after manual, process after process, religious thing. And I've met groups when I've traveled around the world that are as dry as a chip that's been baked in the Sahara Desert. But the mystics of old, they knew it was, they didn't call it mysticism, they called it the way of love, and they called it the way of wine and intoxication. If it's sober, it's over. Because the new covenant isn't another manual. You know, at the communion table, Jesus is saying, "I'm about to introduce a new covenant." And they're like, they get their notebox out and their parchments. And it's like, you go, "Save the trees. You don't need that paper." And he released a drink that intoxicated them beyond law. Because when they were totally failing, when Peter totally failed, when Peter even went back to fishing, denied Jesus and denied everything and made a mess, he took all the disciples back to the familiar, back to the status quo. Jesus shows up saying, "Hey, how's that working out for you? You're not catching any fish today, are you? Not a lot of glory on what you're doing. But this is the culture of heaven. This is the culture of love. This is the culture of the fear of the Lord, is that he said, put your nets in, and he made 153 fish swim into that net. 153 fish would go like, come on, guys, let's get in there. And he's trying to pull it out, and they can't. And that's when Paul has a revelation, and I love the fact that he puts his top back on, and I always wondered about that. I knew this is what I believe it was about. It was because he said, this is the last time I'm ever going in this boat. Jesus has arrived. Grace has arrived. And when he gets out on the shore, he doesn't meet a savior that's punishing him, saying you've got to have your 24 laws of this and 80 laws of that and 24 configurations of this, and you've got to know this and you've got to know that. He just asked one question. One question is all he wanted to know. He said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? He says, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? And that transformed that man beyond any law book ever could, until he became a great, you know, do you know even how Peter died? It says that he was leaving the city, they were persecuting him. He could have got away. He didn't have to be crucified. Jesus appeared to him on a cross in front of him, levitating, saying, I have come to be crucified again. And Peter knew it was his time, and he turned back and embraced it and said, I want to be crucified upside down. Love is the most transformational force in the cosmos. Love is the ecstatic realm of being united with him, for God is love. God is love. God is good. Every thought that you have in your heart that doesn't align with goodness or love is deception. We cannot afford to harbor a single thought in our minds that doesn't align with goodness. Heaven is our inheritance. Heaven is his joy that he's written for us. It should be the most exciting exploration we've ever had. Whoa. And we've got to realize he does it for us. See, it says to Satan, this is what the word was, the challenge to Satan, is that you said in your heart, I will ascend, I will raise my throne, I will sit on the mountain in the assembly, in the recesses of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High God. That's what Satan said. I will make myself like Jesus. I will ascend. I will sit on the mountain. I will be in the assembly. There's no I in the gospel. It is Christ in you, that Christ elevates you and seats you. And this is what Bill Johnson says. He says, whilst most of the church are still trying to become like Jesus was, the Bible declares, as he is, so are you in this world. Whew. Rick Joyner says this, the attitude of being able to attain self-perfection is prevalent in every religion and philosophy in the world except true Christianity. Only he can accomplish this for us. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Oh, just let his goodness pickle you. Let his love marinate you. Love will give you wings. Love will lift you up into this. There is an inheritance for you. But the gateway isn't striving. The gateway isn't, you know, I've said this before, and Ian has, is that the way Ian has been taught by the Lord isn't the way that you'll be taught by the Lord necessarily. There are principles and ideas there that are for you, but the way it manifests may be completely different. For me, many of my mystical encounters where I've had expanded states have come through just honoring that tiny bit of his presence and enjoying it. And then he scooped me up. I've set my affections and my heart and my desire not to have knowledge, but to have him. Someone messaged me recently from a high-up organization in the Christian world, a big movement, and they've been listening to the podcast, and they've been having all these encounters. And he said, how can I sustain this level of encounter? I'm going up all the time. I said, you don't have to sustain that level of encounter. You just walk in his presence and enjoy him. And he will do what he wants. And you will be complete in love. Oh, Father, Thank you, Father. Whoa. Winnie Banoff says this: God always planned that his saints would be intoxicated by what he has done. God saves us single-handedly. Religion cannot intoxicate you. Only what God has accomplished on your behalf in the giving of his son. Can that reality intoxicate you? I can't tell you any secret formula. I don't have one. I don't have three easy steps other than drink. Drink more. And drink all that you can possibly drink. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm ending with this. John G. Lake saw our day, and he gave a remarkable prophetic word, and this is part of it. He said this: I can see that there is coming from heaven a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit in power. I can see there is coming from heaven a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit in power. And that new manifestation, listen, we automatically thought of all the miracles that might mean. This is what he saw. And that new manifestation will be in sweetness, in love, in tenderness, beyond anything your heart or mine ever saw. The very lightnings of God will flash through people's souls. Thank you, Father, for your gentleness. May the King of Peace crush Satan and Andrafi. Amen. Love you guys.